Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas, Chaim Menachem Aaron ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the din tevila that we said in our Mishnah, that a person before going into the Azor is mechuyev to be toivo, and Abaye asks the Shaila as to whether in this tevila there are hilchas chatzitza or not. Ordinarily, in regular dinei tevila, there's a din chatzitza. If a person has something on his body, so if that thing covers a roiv of the body, then midairaisa, it's not considered a good tevila. There's even a din drabanan when there's miut that the person's makbid on. And the question is, what about our din tevila? Rashi says that we have to be asking dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda. We had two shittas in how to learn the din of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda understood it was a din drabanan because of sirach tevila. It causes a person to remember that he may have a tumah yishana on himself before going into the Beis HaMikdash, and that way, if he does, then he'll make sure to get rid of that tumah. So that's the reason, says Rashi, why the Gemara is asking a shayla. Because it's possible that since this tevila is only coming to remind him about a tumah yishana that he may have, he therefore does not have hilchas chatzitza like regular dinei tevila. However, according to Ben Zoyma, who understands that this tevila is learnt out from a kal v'chomer from the din that the Kohen Gadol has to be toivel chamish pa'amim on Yom Kippurim, so it wouldn't make any sense to ask this shaila, because why should it be different than any other than tevila? That is Shitas Rashi. Tosfos in Dibur Maschil Choytzitz Eina Choytzitz brings Rashi and says that if that were the case, if we were only asking the shaila according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the Gemara would have said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's ask a shaila. The truth is that there is such a girsa. We have it in parentheses. But since Tosfos didn't have that girsa b'chlal, Tosfos has a point that since the Gemara doesn't mention that we're asking dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no reason to assume that it's not being asked l'kuliyama. However, Rashi has a valid question. Why, according to Ben Zoyma, is there a makam to ask a shaila? It's a tevila like any other tevila. Says Tosfos that even according to Ben Zoyma, we can ask the question by a tevila shehu toivel k'she'enai bo lavoid, he's not coming to be oivet. When a person goes into the Azara for the purposes of doing the avoida, then Tosfos understands that the kal v'chomer tells us that he has to be toivel. However, if the person goes in for a birei kanis, he's not going for any particular reason, he doesn't want to be oivet avoida in the Azara. In such a case, Tosfos understands that there is no din da'iraisa according to Ben Zoyma. It's only a din Abonin, and the Dinder Abonin is Xeira Shema Yavoid. Maybe he'll do the Avoida when he goes in. And that is, like Tosfos explained already on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and Dibra Maschil Uma, that the Kal v'chomer only teaches us a case of a Toher HaNichnas Kedei Lavoid. Now it would seem that Rashi does not want to learn like Tosfos over here for a very simple reason. It could be that Rashi disagrees with Tosfos and holds that when a person goes into the Beis HaMikdash, not for the purposes of Avodah, he also has a din d'oraisa that has to be toivel. And this is based on the hesber that the Meroi Mesodeh gave. We explained on Daf Lamed that the Meroi Mesodeh explains the machloikas between Rashi and the Tosfos Yeshanim. Rashi and the Tosfos Yeshanim argue how to be masbir ben zoymes kal v'chomer. He says the words uma hamishana mikodesh l'kodesh umi makam sha'anish karis l'makam sha'anish karis ta'an tevila. So we explained then that Rashi learns mishana mikodesh l'kodesh actually means the same exact thing as mimakam sha'anish karis l'makam sha'anish karis, namely that the Kohen Gadol is mechuyev to do tevila when he changes location, when he changes michutz lefnim or mipnim lechutz. And that's what it means when we say mishana mikodesh lekodesh. He changes mekoymes from one place that's kodesh to another place that's kodesh. Masha Enkein, the Tosfos Yeshanim learns that mishana mikodesh lekodesh is a reference to the Kohen Gadol changing his begadim. Because the Big Day Lovan and the Big Day Zov are both Big Day Kodesh. When he changes from one to the other, is mechuyev to be toivel. And the Tosfos Yeshanim has a raya. He says, otherwise, why would we be so redundant? Why would we say first Hamishana mikodesh lekodesh and then mimakam sha'anish karis lemakam sha'anish karis? According to Rashi, they both mean the same thing. Says the Meroi Mesodeh, as we quoted in Daf Lamed, what is the hesber? Why does Rashi not want to learn like the Tosfos Yeshanim? Because the Rashi holds that the tevila that you're mechuyev to be toivel is even if you go in not for the purposes of avoida, you just, the person stam goes into the azara, a birei kanis. And since that is the conclusion that we're trying to arrive at, it would make no sense to make a kal v'chomer from the Kohen Gadol who changes begadim from one type of beged to another type of beged. So Bishlama, if we're talking about a tevila that he's mechuyev to make simply because he's changing locations from a makam kodesh to another makam kodesh, then we understand that kol shekein, when a person changes his location from outside the azara into the azara, he's mechuyev to be toivo. So the entering into a makam kodesh in and of itself is mechayev a tevila, whether the person has plans of engaging in avoida or not. The Tosfos Yeshanim, on the other hand, says the Merei Misodeh, he, in the earlier Tosfos Yeshanim, he says straight out that l'avoida is dafka. Ein adam nichnas la'azara la'avoida is the only time a person is chayiv to be toivel is if he goes in for the purposes of avoida. Says the Merei Misodeh, if you're trying to arrive at the conclusion that a person is mechuyev to be toivel specifically when he goes in for the purposes of avoida, then you can make a kal v'chomer from the Kohen Gadol's chiyuv of tevila before he changes from one type of begadim to another type of begadim. And that's because the fact that you see when the Kohen Gadol changes to a different type of avoida, which warrants different begadim, that shows me that when a person changes from outside the azara and he goes in to engage in avoida, then he needs to be toivel. And that is at least the kal v'chomer, because going from the Big Day Zov to the Big Day Lavan is a change that's for the purpose of a different type of avoida. So that change warrants tevila, so then a change in location, which is for the purpose of avoida, also warrants tevila. So l'fi the hesber of the Merei Misodeh, it's clear that Shitas Rashi is that when a person goes into the Azara not for the purpose of avoida, it's me'ikar adin. It's learned out from the kal v'chomer. Because the Merei Misodeh is masber that that's the whole reason why Rashi needs to learn the kal v'chomer dafka from change of location. So it's muchach from that that Rashi does not agree to our Tosfos. Rashi does not hold that the din that when a person goes into the Azara not for the purpose of avoida is only a din d'rabbanan as a gzeira, maybe he'll come to do the avoida. Tosfos obviously learned like the Tosfos Yeshanim, even though Tosfos also says that la avoida is lav dafka, but like Tosfos explains in the Tosfos after, that's only a din d'rabbanan. La avoida is lav dafka. A person when goes into the mikdash in order not to do an avoida, he's mechuyev to do tefila. That's only a din d'rabbanan, and that's because the kal v'chomer teaches me, just like the Tosfos Yeshanim learns, the kal v'chomer teaches me that when a person changes in order to do avoida, he's mechuyev to do tefila. So it comes out that Rashi l'shitase could not have learned like Tosfos learns in our sugya. Yet Rashi was forced to learn that our Gemara is only asking a shaila alib derb Yehuda. The shaila is to whether a chatzitza is a problem in the tevila of our Mishnah. According to Tosfos, that was a kasha that could even be asked the alib de ben Zayma, because according to ben Zayma, there's one case which is only a derabbanan, and that is when a person goes shaloi almanas to do the avoida. But lefi Rashi alib de ben Zayma, that is not a case that is a derabbanan. That's a case that is dairaisa. One of the shilas the Gemara asks in our sugya, Iboiluhu ma'u sheyasa sakin aruka v'yishchait, is a person who did not do tevila, is he allowed to at least stand outside the azara and use a large, a long knife and shecht a carbon that way? The Gemara says you can ask a shilah according to Ben Zoyma, who's very machmer in this tevila, and holds that it's learnt out from kal v'chomer, and you could even ask a shilah according to the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, who hold that a person is not mechuyev to be toivel, generally speaking, before going into the Azara. According to Ben Zoyma, the Shaila the Gemara says is that, at least in Ben Zoyma's case, the person enters the Azara, but over here the person is standing outside the Azara, so maybe he doesn't have to be Toivel. On the other hand, the Gemara says that maybe Asilim Shuche, he's going to be Nimshach after the carbon and end up in the Azara. And the Shaila, according to the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, is that over there the Rabbanan say, in a case where you don't do the Avoida at all, because we're talking about a Mitzayro who's putting his hands into the Azara, but he's not doing the Avoida, but over here it's worse because he's doing the Avoida. Now, the Rambam doesn't make any mention of this Shaila of the Gemara. And the question is, why not? The Gemara leaves it at Teku, it's an Ibaidli Yifshita, so the Rambam should at least bring it down. In the Sefer Nezer HaKodesh over here, he says a very interesting hesber as to why the Rambam leaves it out. He says that the Rambam was bothered by a kasha that Tosfos asks over here in Dibra Maschil Oidilma. On our Gemara that says that there's a chash that a person who's outside the Azara and shechting with a long knife, maybe he'll be nimshach after the animal, and he'll wind up in the Azara, asks Tosfos that the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Beis, and in Zvachim Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara over there discusses the din that a Tomei is not supposed to shecht Kodshim, L'chatchila. even with the Sakin Aruka standing outside the Azara. And the reason the Gemara gives there is Shema Yiguba Basar. Maybe he'll end up touching the Basar, and he's not allowed to touch Kodshim. So asks Tosfos, why does the Gemara say only the Chashash that he's going to touch the Kodshim? Why aren't we worried that he's going to enter the Azara? He'll be Nimshach after the animal, like our Gemara mentions. So Tosfos answers this question by saying that our Gemara is talking about a person who's Tahar. A person who's Tahar has less of a reason to be scared to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Masha'enkin, a person who's Tamei, he has an Issur Karis, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have to make a gzeira that maybe he's going to be Asilim Shuche, he's going to end up walking into the Azara. However, says the Nezer HaKodesh, that the Rambam has a different answer to this question. The reason why, according to the Rambam, the Gemara in Chulin and the Gemara in Zvachim does not mention the Chashash of Asilim Shuche is going to end up in the Azara, is because that Chashash that our Gemara mentioned, that Dilma Asilim Shuche, maybe the person will be Nimshach after the carbon, was not a Chashash that he's going to fully walk into the Azara. We're not worried that a person who is not supposed to go into the Azara is going to go into the Azara. What we are worried about is that he's going to do a Bia B'miktsas. He's going to end up partially in the Azara. Now, says the Nezer Kodesh that the Rambam held, that the sugya in Zvachim and the sugya in Chulin that didn't mention the Chashash of Dilma Asalim Shuche is because that sugya holds Bia B'miktsas Loishma Bia. So the chashash, according to that sugya, that a person will end up sticking his hands into the azara, and that way he'll be nimshach after the animal, is not a problem, because that's not an iser. Bia b'miktsas lo yishma bia. Our sugya holds, dilma asalim shuche, that he's going to end up putting his hands into the azara, and there's a problem, because bia b'miktsas shma bia. The Meila says the Nezer HaKodesh, the Rambam paskins that bia b'miktsas lo yishma bia. And that's in Hilchos Bias Mikdash Per Gimel Halacha Yud Ches. Since he paskins Bia B'miktsas Lo Yishma Bia, there was no reason for him to bring down this Iboy of our Gemara, because this our Iboy is built on the Shita that Bia B'miktsas Shma Bia. We learned that the Tevilas of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur had to be B'Kodesh. They had to be in a Mokam Kodesh, like the Lashon of the Pasuk V'Rochas B'Sar B'Mayim B'Mokam Kodesh. Where was the Mokam Kodesh? It was B'Gag Beis HaParva, on the roof of the place called Beis HaParva, which was a lishka that was off of the Azara. Tosfos in Devar Maschav Chulon asks, Tameli, v'hagagin v'aliyas lo niskadshu. We know that the gagin and aliyas of the Azara were not niskadish with Kedushas Azara. So how was this gag considered a mokam kodesh? So Tosfos' teretz is that the gag Beis HaParva was really level with the Azara. Now, it's extremely difficult to understand how Tosfos could say that it was level with the karka of the Azara, since the Gemara in the Hemshech explains that from our Gemara you see that Ein Etam, the spring called Etam, which is where the water in the Gag Beis HaParva came from, was Gavoya Mikarka Azara Esrim Visholosh Amos. Why? How do you see that it was 23 Amos above the Karka Azara? Because we assume that the Lishka itself was 20 Amos high. And on top of that, as the Gemara explains, the Mikveh itself had to be 3 Amos high. Now, if you tell me that the Gag Beis HaParva was really level with the Karka Azara, so it's true that the Lishka that was underneath the Gag Beis HaParva was 20 Amos high, but that was not 23 Amos above the Karka Azara, it was actually only 3 Amos above the Karka Azara. So you have to say that when we say that it was 23 Amos above Karka Azara, it means it was 23 Amos above the bottom of the Lishka, which was really underground. Uncle Ponim, it is a doichik to say like Tosfos, and that's why the Sfasemis tries to offer another answer to Tosfos' question. What he says is that although the Gagin v'Aliyas were not niskadshu, those are only the Gagin and Aliyas that were not psuchos into the Azara. Because the rule, generally speaking, is that lishkes that are benuyas b'chol and psuches l'kodesh, even though they're built in the makom chol, since they're psuches l'kodesh, they have a din of kodesh. That is in the Gemara Psachim Dav Peivav and Zvachim Dav Nunvav. So says the Sfasemis that it's true that Gagim Aliyas Leniskachu, but over here, since it was Psuchos into the Beis HaParva, which had Kedushas Azara, it therefore had Kedusha itself. The reason why Tosfos could be didn't want to learn this way is because Tosfos understood that the only time that we say Psuches L'Kodesh has a din of Kodesh is when it's Psuches into the Azara Mamish. But something that's Psuches to a Lishka that has Kedushas Azara may not have the same din. Another possible answer to Tosfos' Kasha, that how is the Gag Beis HaParva considered a Mokum Kodesh, Gagin V'Aliyas Loinis Gachu, we can suggest, based on something that we mentioned in Psachim Da Pevov, that is rooted in the Sefer Avodas Levi, in the first Siman, where he explains that there are two aspects to Kedushas Azara. One aspect of the Kedushas Azara is what we call Kedushas Machne. The fact that the Azara is the Machne Shechina, just like in the Midbar, there was the Machne Shechina, the part that was closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So too, the Azara has the din of Machne Shechina. As we know, we treat it like the Machne Shechina. We don't allow Tmei Meis to enter. Now that aspect of Kedushas Azara does not require us being Mekadesh it. The fact that they went and they had a ceremony to be Mekadesh the Azorais and the ear with Shtei, Toides, Uvishir, as the Gemara explains in Shavuos and in Erechin, that aspect of the Kedushas Azara didn't need Shtei, Toides, Uvishir because it's a natural Kedusha that's a product of the fact that it is called the Chatzar Oil Moed. It's near the Oil Moed, it's near the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore deserves to be Kodesh for that reason alone. And then there was another aspect of the Kedusha that had to do with the fact that they were Mekadesh each place with the Kedusha HaRu'uyaloi. And the place called the Azara, they were Mekadesh b'shtei Toides Ishir to give a Kedusha's Azara. Gagin v'Alias Loinis Gatshu is a statement of the fact that when they came along and were Mekadesh certain Mekaymas, they were not Mekadesh the Gagin and Alias of those Mekaymas. And he explains over there how, as a result of this distinction, you can explain certain dinim. Lamashal, he explains how, according to Rashi in Zvachim, Amdaf Nun Hei, the lishkais that were benuyes b'chol and psuches the kodesh, Rashi says, were not niskachu with kedushas azara. Yet we find that in those lishkais, you're allowed to eat. There are certain dinim for legabe which they are not considered azara, but legabe achilas kodshim, everybody agrees that you're allowed to eat kodshim in those lishkais. And the question is, why? If they were not niskachu with kedushas azara, then how come you're allowed to eat kodshim in them? Says the Avodas Levi, it's very simply. They may not have the kedushas azara, which is a result of Bezdin being Mekadesh, b'shtei toidetz v'shir, and that's why you're not allowed to shecht in those places, because legabi that, it doesn't have Kedushas Azara, but le'inyin achilas kodshim, you're allowed to eat it because it's chatzar oil moed, and the din of achilas kodshim only needs chatzar oil moed, it has to have only the natural Kedusha based on its proximity to the makam ashuras hashchina. So lefiza, we could say very simply that the gagin va'aliyos of the Azara also did not have the Kedusha that was based on Shtei Toides Vashir. They weren't Mekadesh Gagim Aliyahs, but the natural Kedusha it did have. And therefore, Legabi the Kohen Gadol is being Toivel, which has to be B'makam Kaddish, you do not necessarily need a place where Bezdin went and was Mekadesh it. As long as it has Kedusha's Azara, Legabi certain things, it would be called Makam Kaddish. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara proves from here that Ein Etam, which was a spring, was Gavoya Mikarka Azara, Esr Mishalosh Amis, it was 23 Amis higher than the Karka of the Azara. The way the Gemara proves this is because since Kol HaPsachim Shahayu Sham Goyva and Esr Amma, every Pesach that was in the Mikdash was 20 Amis high, and since every Pesach was 20 Amis high, we know that the Lishka itself had to have been 20 Amis high. Now you have to add to that the size of the Mikvah. How do we know that the Mikvah was 3 Amis high? The Gemara brings a Braisa. It says, V'rachas besari b'mayim, b'mei Mikvah, kol besari, mayim shekol gufei oilo behen. You have to have a size where the entire person can go in, the kamahein, amma al amma berum shalish Amis. So a Mikvah has to be the height of 3 amas, and it has to be an amma by an amma. Tosfos points out in Dibur Maschil Ein Etam that even though it is conceivable that a mikvah was lying down, so that it was only 1 amma high and the 3 amas were in the length, nevertheless it was mistaver that they would make it in a way that the Kohen Gadol would have an easier time getting into the mikvah. So if it was erect, that would be much easier for the Kohen Gadol. Now, what's confusing about our Gemara is that since we're talking about Ein Etam is a Mayon. A Mayon is a spring. Now, we all know that there's a between a natural spring, like a Mayon, and a Mikvah, which is Mayim Mechunasim, rainwater that gathered together in a bar, is that Mayim Mechunasim, a Mikvah, has to have 40 saw, but a Mayon could be Metayer B'Kolshu, as it's Mavur in the Torah's Koinim on the Pasik in Vayikra Tezvav Yud Gimel. Yet, even though we're talking about a Mayon, our Gemara says that it had to be 1 Amma by 1 Amma by 3 Amma so that it would have 40 saw in it. You only need 40 sub by a mikvah. Why isn't this considered a mayon? So the Ritva here asks this question. He says, V'hacha, afal pi shemi mayon etam bolisham, even though it came from ein etam, kevan da ashbashbirin hoya, sarich mikvah shal memsa. He means to say that a mayon can only be metaher as it is flowing. Once it becomes ashbirin, once it becomes still water, it gets the din of a mikvah and you need to have 40 sa. However, the Tosfos Yeshanim over here gives a different teretz to this question. He says, "Va'afal pi shemayon haya tzarich memsa l'tvilas adam." He says a very important yesod that even though a mayon is mitaher b'kol shehu, but when a mayon is being mitaher a person, you need to have memsa. Which means that there's one halacha of memsa which says that a mikveh has to have memsa, and then there's a special din for tefilas adam that you have to have memsa because that's mayim shekol gufay oilo behen. The Ritva obviously does not agree to this yisoid, because if the Ritva can ask the question that why is it not okay for it to be metayer b'kol shehu, why do you have to have 40 sa? He says, well, because it's bashbayrin. You see from the Ritva that if it would not be bashbayrin, if it wouldn't be still, if it would be still flowing, then even though it's a person, you could be metayerim with less than 40 sa. All you would need is a kol shehu, or however much it would take to cover that person's body. The Rambam in Hilchas Mikvot, Perek Tes Halacha Ches, after saying that the maila of a mayon is that since it's Mayim Chayim, it's Metaher Zavim, Zacharim, so he's obviously talking about being Metaher people. He then says, Ma bein Mayon lemikveh, ha-mikveh ein ha-metaher, elo bar-abayim sav, ha-mayim metaher b'chol shu. So you see that the Shitsa Rambam is also like the Ritva, that you would not need 40 sa when being Metaher a person in a Mayon. However, the R Rishonim that hold like the Tos Yeshanim, the Ri that's brought down by the Rosh in Hilchos Mikvois at the end of Simon Aleph, and the Rabbeinu Tam brought down by the Teres HaBayis of the Rajba in the beginning of Shar Zayin, and also the Rash in Perkei, Mesech Mikvois, Mishnah Beis, all of these Rishonim hold that for Tzvilas Adam, you have to have memsa, even in a mayon. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Aleph Yeredeya Sif Aleph is machmir like those shittas that you have to have 40 sa, because the lashon is that Eino isha oilu mitumasa birichitza b'merchatz afilu olu aleha kol memesha b'oilum adayin hi bitumasa, a woman remains in her tumba v'chayavan aleha kurs ad she titboil kol gufa b'vas achas, she has to be toivel her entire body at once b'mei mikveh oi mayon she yesh behem memsa'o. The Goyin over there in Sifkat and Vav has a discussion. It brings down some of the Rishonim that we mentioned. And even though he sounds very unconvinced by the Shittas that hold you need Memsa, he seems to not want to be Mekel when it comes to a Daraisa. The Mishnah says, Pashat Yarad V'Toval Olav V'Nistapik. The Kohen Gadol would get undressed, he would go down and be Toival, he would come up V'Nistapik, and he dried himself off. Now, it would seem from the fact that the Mishnah has to tell me that he dried himself off, that this is a chiyuv for the Kohen Gadol to dry himself off, and it's not just listing something that was the derech to do, because why would the Mishnah have to list such a thing? Not only that, the Lashon of Rashi goes into detail when he tells me what happened. V'Nistapik says, Rashi, Mis'ateif Ba'alunt, he would wrap himself in the towel to soak up the water that's on his basar. So Rashi makes it clear that there's a process. The Kohen Gadol has to do it a certain way, and we have to understand why that's true. The Mishnah Lemelech in Hilchos Yom Kippur in Perek Beis Halacha Beis is medayik from the Rambam as well that it seems to be a chiyuv, and he wants to know what is the chiyuv. So his suggestion is that the reason why it's a chiyuv is because of chatzitza. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have a chatzitza in between the Big Day Kahuna and his basar, and his skin. Even if one hair goes in between the Big Day Kahuna and the Kohen Gadol's skin, the avoida is no good. The Rambam even goes so far as to paskin, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, that if ruach, if some wind went in during the avoda in between his basar and the Big Day Kahuna, there's a problem. Now the Birkei Yosef in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillin asks Akasha on this Mishnah Melech, because the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Lamed Hamed Aleph, says that dam, which is lach, is not considered a hefsik. And that could be proven from the Gemara brings down, from the Gemara in the end of Perek Tomid Nishchat, which talks about how the Kahanim used to walk around, and it was a shvach l'kahanim, that they would walk ad arkuvoseihem bedam, until their knees in dam, from all of the dam that was that came out of the carbon Pesach, that everybody would shecht on Erev Pesach. And the Gemara asks, why isn't that a hefsik? The Gemara says, because lach is not choitzitz. So how could the Mishnah Melech say that the Mayim was a chitzitza in between the Kohen Gadol and his Begadim? Now you could be mechal between the two cases, like the Makar Baruch in Chelik Aleph, Seif Simon Yud Tes, he explains that when a person is standing on the Ritzpah and there's Dam underneath his foot, since his weight weighs down on the Dam, so it gets spread out, and it's not considered a chitzitza because it's like his foot is directly on the Ritzpah. Masha'en Kein, the Kohen Gadol, there's nothing pressing down on that water, so it would be considered a chitzitza. However, the Birkei Yosef gives a teretz, and his teretz is based on an assumption. We actually said a similar teretz in our shiurim in the end of Perek Tamid Nishchan in this series, and that is that chatzitza can accomplish one of two things. When a person is supposed to be standing on the Ritzpah, and there's something in between him and the Ritzpah, the reason why it's a problem is because it's not considered like he's standing on the Ritzpah. Now, the Gemara says that even though there is Dam in between him and the Ritzpah, but Dam is Lach, and Lach is not Chotzitz, meaning to say it's still considered like he's in that Mokum. It's still considered like he's standing on the Ritzpah, because although there is Dam in between him and the Ritzpah, but the Dam being Lach is not considered another place. However, when we talk about the Big Day Kahuna, the Chatzitza is a different problem. And that is that the Big Day Kahuna have to be Al Besarei. We need contact. We need that the Big Day Kahuna be touching his Basar. If there is something, even if it's a Dabar Lach, that's on his body, the Big Day Kahuna is not touching his Basar. By the Ritzpah Azara, we do not need contact between his foot and the Azara. We don't need his foot to be touching the Ritzpah. We need that the person is not Oymed in a different place, that he's Oymed on the Ritzpah. The Amida is considered an Amida on the Ritzpah, even if there's something that's being Chaitzis making that he's not touching. But the Lashon of the Pasuk by the Big Dekun is that they have to be Al Besarei. So we need contact. When you need contact, even a Dover Lach is Chaitzis. Because the bottom line is, it's not touching his Basar. The Mishnah continues, Heviu loy bigdei zohav v'lovash v'kiddish yadav raglov. He was mekadish yadav raglov, Rashi says, min hakir. That's how the Bartanura also explains in the Mishnah that it was mekadish yadav raglov min hakir. The Tosfos Yom Tov asks, how could they say min hakir? The Mishnah says later on, Dafim Gimel Amud Beis, that in Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol was mekadish from the kitain shel zohav. That was one of the differences between Yom Kippur and all year. The whole year, the Kohen Gadol was mekadish yadav raglov min hakir, except for according to Rabbi Yehuda. And on Yom Kippur, he was Mekadosh Yadav Aragla from the Kitan Shel Zohov. So the Siach Yitzchak and the Rashash both bring down a Yerushalmi in Perek Dalid at the end of Halacha Beis, where there's a Machloikes Legabe, the first Kiddush. The rest of the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, everybody agrees, was from the Kitan Shel Zohov. There's a question, though, Legabe, the first Kiddush. And we already brought down on Daf Lamed, the Brisker Rav, who explains in Hilchos Yom Kippurim the difference between the Din Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim of all year and the Din Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that the Kohen Gadol had in Yom Kippur. And his raya is from this Yerushalmi. So the way that he explains it is that the first Kiddush was no different than the rest of the year, because the first Kiddush was a halacha that's learned out from Parshas Kisisa, which over there it's written the Kiyur, that a Kohen, that any Kohen, when he comes to do the Avoida, he has to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim in the morning. That was done from the Kiyur. However, the rest of the Kiddushim were special based on the limud in Parshas Achrei Mois, and that was done from the Kiddush Shel Zohov. The Mishnah says, "Heviu lo yasat tamid kurotzei umerik achas shchita al yadei." The Kohen Gadol had to do the shchita, which means he had to shecht roiv of the two simonim, but he didn't finish the shchita. Somebody else would finish the shchita in order that the Kohen Gadol should be able to do the Kabbalah. So you see that there was a kpeda that the Kohen Gadol, since he did all the avodas hayoyim, he also had to be the one to shecht the tamid. Now, there are two reasons why this needs to be analyzed. Number one, in the Gemara later on, Daf Mem Beis Med Aleph is Mavur, that the fact that you needed to have Dafka the Kohen Gadol for the Avodas Yom Kippurim is learnt out from the word Aron and Chuka that's written in the Parsha of Yom Kippurim. And that is only said with regards to the things that were unique to Yom Kippur. But any Avoida that you did all year did not require Dafka the Kohen Gadol. That is actually why the Tosfos Zerush over here in Amud Aleph says that the Kohen Hedyot was capable of doing Trumas Hadeshim, because Trumas Hadeshim was something that you could do all year. He's medayik that from the fact that it doesn't say a tevila that the Kohen Gadol did before Trumas Hadeshim. And aside from this taina, the shchita is lav avoidahi. Shchita is not considered an avoida. It's even kshera bizar. So why would it be something that you would need dafka the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is kosher for things that have a din avoida. So the Rishonim later on Daf Lamed Beis, Tosfos over there, in Dibra Maschil Im Kain, and the Taz Yishanim, the Taz Rosh, the Ritva, they all say over there that even though Midai Raisa, you don't need the Kayan Gadol for Shechitas HaTamid, nevertheless, Midrabanan, the Rabbanan came along and said, for Yom Kippur, the Kayan Gadol should shech the Tamid. The Rishash and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph actually says that it was only over here by the Tamid that we allow the Kohen Gadol to do Kerotzai, which means to Shecht, like we said, the two Simonim, and somebody else should finish the Shechita, but by the parish of Kohen Gadol, it says the word Shechotai, and that's because over there, the Kohen Gadol had to do the whole Shechita. Over here, we don't mind letting somebody else finish off the Shechita, because even the whole Shechita, theoretically, would be able to be done Alidei Azar. But over there, since it was from the Avodas Hayoyim, the Kohen Gadol had to do it, and we wouldn't allow somebody else to finish off the Shechita. There's an interesting kasha that Rabbi Chanan asks in the Kovetz Yurim and Psachim, Ois Kuf Tzarek Zayin, about the Karbonis on Yom Kippur in general. And that is that there's a rule in Karbonis that whatever you bring on the Mizbech has to be Mimashke Yisroel. That's a Gemara in Menachos, Tavhei, Amud Aleph, and other places that we learn after a pasuk in Yecheskel that it says that the Karbonis were Mimashke Yisroel, which means that anything that you bring on the Mizbeach has to be something that's mutter for a Yisroel. If it's something that we're not allowed to eat, then we can't put it on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Chanan asks, how is it possible to bring Karbonis on Yom Kippur? This should be possible because we're not allowed to eat it. Now the Stipler in Menachos and Simon Gimel says that it's not really a question because it's Mitzvasi B'Kach. If the Torah told you to be makriv karbonis on Yom Kippur, the Torah was obviously telling you that you should bring it, even though it's not Mimashke Yisroel. However, this would help for the karbonis that you're supposed to bring on Yom Kippur because they're karbonis of Yom Kippur. But what about the chalavim of Shabbos that we know we bring on Yom Kippur, even though it's not Michoivis Hayoyim? So Rabbi Chanan answers by saying the famous teretz that food on Yom Kippur is not something that's usser. It's Yom Uhudika Garim. We're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But it's not like the food is something that's considered a cheftza di yisura. It's an iser gavra, not an iser cheftza. And the din of Mimashki Yisrael is you're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach something, food that's usser to a yid. And this is actually a soid that appears in Toisvis in Gittin Dav Zayin, and Toisvis in Chulin Dav Hei, when Toisvis is discussing the klal of Hashta behemtim shel tzadikim, ena kodesh borchu, mevi takol al yodam, tzadikim asim le kol shekein, that we say that it's not possible for a tzaddik to be nichshel in an aveira. It's a kol shekein. If a kodesh borchu would not allow the behemtim shel tzadikim, like the chamor of Repinchas ben Yair, to eat a dover shel iser, then certainly he wouldn't allow a tzaddik to be nichshel in machalas asuris. So Tosfos over there says that this is only by midi da'achila, because that's how he answers the question that you find that tzaddikim were nichshel in chatoim, like Rabbi Shmuel, who was kara vehita, he was reading and he by mistake was mata a nair, and he was over on Havara. Yehuda ben Tabai killed an Eid Zoymeim. So you see that tzaddikim were nichshel in Averis. So Tosfos says, no, we're only talking about a midi da'achila, macholus asuris. On that, Tosfos asks from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that you see that tzaddikim were nichshel in eating on Yom Kippur. So Tosfos says that it's not really the same because eating on Yom Kippur is not a cheftza shel iser. Macholos asuris, tzaddikim are not going to be nichshelim. That's an iser cheftza. The fact that something is mutter, it's just that the time doesn't allow you to consume it, makes it that it's not really something that's aser. So legabe the din of Mimashki is so we can understand Rabbi Chanan's teretz. On the din of the Mishnah that says Umeirik Acher Shechita al Yodei, that somebody else would finish the Shechita for the Kohen Gadol, Rashi says Umeirik Acher V'gomar Kohen Acher Shechita. Another Kohen would finish the Shechita. And the question is, why do you need another Kohen to finish the Shechita? If Shechita is Ksheru Bazar, so it really could have been a Yisroel. Perhaps we can answer that Rashi is Lishitasai. There is a very mechurishtika Rashi based on the understanding of the Rashash in the Rashi in Yevamos Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Over there the Gemara says, Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbos, a Zar that did the Avoida on Shabbos, Yeshka Mishum Zarus or Mishum Shabbos. He has an Isser Zarus, he's a Zar, so he's over the Isser of a Zar doing the Avoida, Umishum Shabbos, and he's also Usser on being Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, B'mai, What avodah are we talking about? If we're talking about shchita bizar ksheira. Shchita is ksheira bizar, and therefore, according to the pashut pshat in the Gemara, the question that the Gemara is asking is that he shouldn't be over not mishum zaris because shchita is bizar ksheira, and in turn he shouldn't be over mishum Shabbos either because he didn't do a malacha. However, Rashi over there says that shchita bizar ksheira says Rashi ve'ein kan zaris, and there's no psul zaris. The Rashash is medayik from the Rashi that even though there's no psul zarus, but nevertheless, he still would be over mishum Shabbos. Now, whether you have the right to be medayik like that in Rashi or not is debatable, but that is the dik that the Rashash makes in the Rashi. And based on this, he's mechadish that Rashi's shita is that even though shchita is ksher bizar, but the avoidis were only hutru l'kayhanim on Shabbos. When the Torah allowed us to do avoidis, which like shchita is an iser d'iraisa, it's an iser of choyvel, that iser choyvel, we were only matir for kayhanim and not for zarim. And even though this is not an avoida that requires kahanim, nevertheless, the heter to be mechal Shabbos was said only for kahanim. Lefize, we could say that that's why Rashi over here says that it was another kohen that finished up the shechita for the kohen gadol, because the finishing of the shechita also entails a meleches choyvel. So how is he allowed to do it? It's only because since the avoida is doicha Shabbos, we allow you to finish off the shechita because the optimal way of shechting is to finish the whole two simonim and not just roiv the simonim. So you finish off the shechita, but only with a kohen, and that's why Rashi says kohen acher. Now, what's interesting is that the Chazon Ish in Evan Ezer, Simon Kuf Lamed Dalid, when he's going Al Seder Hashas, he's going through the Gemaras and Yevamis, and he's on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, over there, he argues on this Rashash, and he says that a Zar is allowed to Shecht on Shabbos. Rashi, when Rashi picks Ein Kamishim Zarus, when he explains in the Gemara's Kasha, Ibishchita Shchita Bizar Ksheira, it's Kasha Bizar, and Rashi says only Ein Ba Mishim Zarus, but he doesn't say that he has no problem Shechting on Shabbos, he means that Ein Ba Mishim Zarus, and Memela, there's no Isser for the Zar to Shecht on Shabbos either. And then the Chazon Ish brings a raya from our Mishnah to his Shita. He says, it says in our Mishnah, Umeirik Acher Shchita Al Yadai, another person would come and do the Shchita, he would finish off the Shchita for the Kohen Gadol. Says the Chazon Ish, even though on Yom Kippur, a Kohen Hedyit is also considered a Zar. So what does it mean that somebody else would be able to finish off the Shechita for him? Even if it was a Kohen is considered a Zar, Legabi the Avodis Yom Kippurim, and how was he able to go and finish off the Shechita? According to the Rashash's understanding in Rashi, it would be over in Issa Deraisa, because the din of Shabbos was not Nitna Litchais Eitzel Zarim, and he has a din of a Zar. However, we can answer this question based on what we mentioned earlier, that all the Rishonim say in Daflam Abayzim Abayz, that may Iker Hadin, the carbon tamid, since it was something that was not for one of the specific avoidas of Yom Kippur, it was something that was an avoid of all year, so me'ikra din, you didn't need the kohen gadol. And therefore, another kohen would not be considered a zar legabi the kohen gadol. It's only that the Rabbanan came along and made a special din de Rabbanan that they said that the kohen gadol should do even the avoid of the tamid. But since me'ikra din, another kohen is not considered a zar, there would be no problem for another kohen to finish off the shechita. And if anything, like we're saying, there's a raya from Rashi here to the Rashash's understanding of Rashi and Yevamos, because according to the Chazon Ish's understanding in Rashi and Yevamos, it really another zar should be able to finish off the shechita for the kohen gadol. So why does it say in Rashi over here that it was a kohen acher? It could only be because a regular Yisrael would have a problem, like the Rishash says, that he's not allowed to do avoidus on Shabbos. The din of Shabbos or Yom Kippur was only nitna litchais eitzel kehanim. So kehanim are allowed to do the rest of the shechita. There's no iser choyvel for a kohen. And since it was very difficult for the kohen gadol to finish the whole shechita, we allowed somebody else to finish off the shechita, because technically speaking, the Ikar Adin, anybody can finish off the shechita. Now, we've been going with the assumption that the miruk, the finishing off of the shechita, would constitute an iser choyvel. And that's why it was only a kohen that has the heter, like Rashi's mevura in Yevamos. However, the Michas Chinuch has a suffix about this. If, after you do what's considered a kosher shechita, the animal can no longer live, if continuing to cut the rest of the simonim, does that constitute a meleches choyvel or not? He even says that it may be included in Melechus Shoichet because you're mekarev the misa of the animal. We obviously are going with the assumption that this would constitute a Melechus Chayvel, and the Mikdash David in Simen Chafei also assumes that this would be a problem of Chayvel. And he even asks, why would this be mutter? Why, since it's not ma'akiv, once you do roiv of the simonim, and the rest of the simonim are not ma'akiv, so you should be usher to finish off the shechita, because it is a meleches chayvel, and it's not essential to the avoida. You don't need to do it. So he says that even so, since the ikar shechita is doicha Shabbos, we would allow you to finish it off. Kolzman, you're still being oisik in the avoida. This is reminds us of the din of tzitzin she'enu ma'akvenes amila, that you're allowed to continue cutting the yelet even though you finished what's considered the mitzvah mila that's ma'akiv. And if you have tzitzin she'enu ma'akvenes amila, you're not allowed to cut them on Shabbos. But since you had a heter l'chatchila to do the mitzvah mila from the beginning, you're allowed to continue and cut even the tzitzin she'enu ma'akvenes amila. Kolzman, you haven't been poirish. From Michas Chinuch, it's mashma that the reason why you're allowed to continue cutting is not because we say that the beginning of the Maisa was Doicha Shabbos, you're allowed to finish it off. Rather, he says that since it's a mitzvah lemarik in order to be mekabel the dam, like Rashi says, so part of the Kabbalah says that you're supposed to do because all of the avodas are Doicha Shabbos. The Mishnah says, "Im hoya kohen gadol zaken oyistinis." If the kohen gadol was old or he was sensitive, mechamel chamin, they would heat up chamin. We'll see what that means. Umatilon l'seichat zayin kidei shetovek tzinosin. And then on Yom Kippur, they would put this chamin into the cold water in order to get rid of the cold edge. Now, there are two ways to understand what the Mishnah means. The Pashta Pshat in the Mishnah is Mechamen Leichamen means that they would heat up hot water. Usually the Lashon HaMishnah, Chamen means hot water, and they would heat up hot water and add it to the cold water. However, later on in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says that they used to have Ashoshiyas Shel Barzel, pieces of metal that they would heat up before Yom Kippur, and they would place these pieces of metal into the water on Yom Kippur. Now, some of the Mefarshim understand that the Braisa, that it says over there, that they had the Ashoshiyas Shel Barzel, is an explanation to the Mishnah, and when the Mishnah says that they were Mechamen Chamen, they used to heat up Chamen could mean these Ashoshiyas, and they would place them into the water. And that's how the Pri Chadosh, brought down by Rabbi Kveger in the Mishnah, seems to understand. Because the Pri Chadosh is Medayik, why is it that the Mishnah only mentions the idea that if the Kohen Gadol was a Zakin or an Istinus, there would be Mechamen Leichamen at the end of the Mishnah? In the beginning of the Mishnah is when we were talking about the Tevila. Since the beginning of the Mishnah, there's plenty of Avoida that has gone on, and it seems strange that the Tana would leave it out. Especially if you look in the Mishnayos, the way that it's split up is into a few Mishnayos. So why does the Tana wait until now to tell us this thing about putting Chamen into the Tzoyne? Says the Pri Chadosh, I'll tell you why. We're about to talk about the next Tevila of the Kohen Gadol. In the very next Mishnah, after the words of Kadesh Tofuk Tzinosan, it says, "Heviyuhu lebeis haparve uva kodesh hayosa," that they would bring the Kohen Gadol into the Beis HaParva, and that was in a Mokum Kodesh. Now, the second Tevila, like we said, all of the other Tevilas were in a Mokum Kodesh. Mashenkin, the first Tevila that we spoke about in the beginning of this Mishnah, was Bechoil. It wasn't B'mokum Kodesh. Says the Pri Chadosh that it was only in the subsequent tevilas, after the first tevila, that it was mutter to take Ashoshiyas Shel Barzel and place them into the water. Because, as is mavur in the Gemara later, and Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, it is a shvus. There's an iser, like Tosis explains over there in the Ramaschal Hani Mili. There's a problem to be mitzaref, the metal. You're not allowed to take metal that's hot and put it into the cold water. It's only an iser shvus, as is mavur over there, that it's a davar she'eino miskaven. It's only Tzirif Durabanan, and therefore there's a rule that ain't shvus b'mikdash. The subsequent tevilos that were b'kodesh, you have the heter of doing a shvus because ain't shvus b'mikdash. But the first tevila, the one that was in the beginning, it was not b'kodesh, and therefore you're not allowed to use these ashoshiyas. So that's how the Pri Chadosh explains why it is only after the first tevila that we find that it says matilin l'seich Hatzoinen the Chamin, which means that he's understanding that the Braisa that says that they took Ashoshiyas Shel Barzel is an explanation to the Mishnah. The one it says Mechamin Leichamin is referring to these Ashoshiyas. However, not everybody agrees to that. If you take a look at the Rashash, he understands that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that there were Matilin Chamin L'Seich Hatzoinen, which means hot water into the Tzoinen, and doesn't agree to this Eitzah of the Braisa of Ashoshiyas Shel Barzel. And pouring hot water into a cold mikveh is no isser shvus. There's no problem with doing that. Actually, the Rosh Hashanah himself understands that this Eitzah, that it says matilin chamin l'seichat soinein, is going back on the first tefillah, and that could work with this pshat, that it's going back on the first tefillah because that was not in the mikdash. So you could do something that was not an isser shvus at all in a place that was not kodesh. A raya that these are two separate Eitzahs is that the Rambam and the Meiri both write both these takanas. They say the takana of matilin chamel sechat soinen and also the ashoshias. The Gemara says Amru Rabban Kamedra Papa Ha the Loik Reb Meir. Our mission is not going like Reb Meir. The Reb Meir Kiven the Amar Trei Kiddushi Alavisha Avid Lahu Hachanami LaAvid Trei Kiddushi Alavisha. Reb Meir and the Rabbanan have a machloikis later in the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Aleph Mebeis. Whether in all of the rest of the tefillahs, did he do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before taking off his clothing? According to Reb Meir, he did it in the reverse. He did it, first he took off his clothing, and then he was Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav. Now, at this point, the Gemara understands that the reason why Reb Meir argues, and he holds that you first took off the clothing and then did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, is because Reb Meir holds that the two times that the Kohen Gadol was Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav, each time that he would change Begadim, was for the purpose of the new Levisha, of putting on the new Begadim. The Rabbanan hold that the Kiddushim, the first Kiddush is because of the Begadim that he removed, and the second Kiddush is because the Begadim he's going to put on. Memela, it stands to reason that when you change from Big Day Choyl to Big Day Kiddush, it would make no sense to do the first Kiddush. Mashenken, according to Reb Meir, the Gemara is saying that the Svara is that since both Kiddushim were for the coming Levisha, then even in the first time, he would have to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim twice. And the Gemara answers that that's not the husband Reb Meir. Reb Meir also agrees that the first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim were because of the Pshita, because of the Begadim that you took off, and they only argue in Psukim, how to explain the Psukim of Upashtet V'Rochatz V'Lovash. At the end, the Gemara proves from a Braisa that indeed Reb Meir would hold that there are two Kiddushim, and Reb Papa responds by saying, Itanya Tanya. Now the Siach Yitzchak asks a question on the Gemara's original Havamina and, of course, the Maskana, that the reason for the Kiddushim, according to Reb Meir, is for the Levisha of the Nubagadim. Why, then, is the first Kiddush prior to the Tevila? What Reb Meir should have said was that first you do the Pshita, take off the Begadim, do the Tevila, and after the Tevila, be Mekadosh Yad V'Raglo for the coming Levisha, and after the Levisha, be Mekadosh Yad V'Raglo again. Why is it that you're Mekadosh before the Tevila? And he says that even according to this Svara, Reb Meir also agrees to the limud of Upashat V'Rachatz, that the Torah says that the Kiddush, one of the two Kiddushim, has to be near the Pshita of the Begadim. It's just that he holds in Svara that Kiddush is for the purpose of Levisha. But that is somewhat dachuk because the Gemara doesn't yet bring down that limud, and the Gemara still believes that the Kiddush is supposed to be for the coming Levisha, and yet it's done before the Tevila. So we're bothered by this question. Why? Why would, according to the Havamin in the Gemara, why would the Kiddush Lefi Reb Meir be before the Tevila? It should be after the Tevila. Perhaps we can say very simply that doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim immediately following Tevila cannot really exist. It wouldn't really accomplish anything because the purpose of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is to add a certain Tara and Kedusha, and once the person is right out of the mikvah, which was Metaher his entire guf, the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim would be considered superfluous. So he first has to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim before the mikvah when he's not yet Tahar, and then the mikvah comes Metaher his whole body. That Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim goes on the Levisha that's coming, but needs to be done at a time that it accomplishes something. So it has to be before the Tefillah, not after.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.